It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's, and yes, Davin's, and the show that is better than biting your tongue. You could join our chat room, The Den Pen. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us on Facebook on the Davin's Den page via Zoom. Audio is better on Davin Comedy. Video is all you get. And audio, actually, you get that on Facebook, too. On the show is a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving racist. Is a Black Santa controversial? Is California the place to live if you want offensive license plates? Is it against your religion to wear a pride shirt? Is it worse to get a paper cut or biting your tongue? Joan Pipple hashed that out in a great debate of absurdity. And is tonight the night scammer Carolyn and fake Davin exchange moolah? This and so much more. We will try to answer all of these questions. Thank you all for joining us. Happy post-Thanksgiving. Such a memorable holiday in America this year. Where you had two options. You could be alone or you could kill your loved ones. Those were the options this year. Well, I heard somebody say, you know, this is like the most authentic Thanksgiving ever because like the visitors are bringing disease to kill the people who live there.
No blankets needed.
No, finally an authentic Thanksgiving reenactment. Ay, 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 ay. Thanksgiving. I mean, I guess some people didn't like the parade. I never watched the parade. If you listen to the show.
Yeah, I could give a shit less.
Yeah, parades are stupid. But I always say that. And those include Thanksgiving Day parades, Rose Bowl parades, especially Trump parades. They're all fucking stupid. Parades are for the window lickers. But I guess it wasn't a good. What do you give me that look for?
What's a window licker?
A doo-doo-doo.
Oh, man.
I mean, anybody with any sort of attention span, you can't watch more than 5 minutes of a parade. Yeah, I mean, we all.
Unless one of the balloons is going awry and crashing, then
yeah.
All hands
fine.
On deck.
I'll give you that. For the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, if you're rooting for an extremely windy day, where it's just on the cusp where they decide, are the people who are holding it fat enough to hold it down, or are we going to have to call this whole thing off? I get that. A windy day. But, yeah, otherwise, it's not for me. But I guess people complained. We had one of the football games canceled because of COVID. This year was the first year we did not go anywhere for Thanksgiving. Normally, we go to my sister-in-law's house. 1 year, we hosted it. Normally, we go to my sister-in-law's house. So we did a Thanksgiving for the three of us. We cooked up a storm. And then we did a Zoom Thanksgiving, a very Zoomy Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this technology is not meant for that. I mean, it's just like so much like screeching and then the sound cuts out. And like, and I don't like to, I don't know, it's kind of weird because we're all sitting like on one side of the table and then you have the computer on the other side and I'm at the head of the table. So it's like, do I really want a bunch of people watching me eat?
It doesn't sound appetizing for the people on the other end at all.
No, well, I think they're so involved in their own shit, but it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like to be watched when I eat.
No, nor do I.
So.
You know, but you got to, if you're eating in public and you're sitting with your family, they got to look at you eat.
No, they don't. No, here's the thing, because there's a camera, you feel the compulsion to keep looking up. If you're with your family, people are looking down or they're looking at somebody who they want to talk to.
Oh, I got you. So there was you were watching it on Zoom, people watching you on Zoom eat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't put it on the Facebook page. It wasn't public, but, you know, it was like.
No, but still, yeah, because you got, I mean. doing this show, I have to leave a note that it reads, look up, stupid, because I have a chance of sitting down. You know, but when I eat, I mean, I don't want to be bothered. I don't, you know, just leave me alone.
Be bothered? You get upset with your fingers when they get in your mouth. You have no time for that. Could lose a digit. You
know, well, some people like to eat like they're ex-convicts, and they want to surround their tray and growl as people get come close to them.
I get that.
And other people are just like, I would be, you know, self-conscious if I know people are watching me. Not that people care because they're worried about their own stuff, but like, you know, something's hanging out of your mouth or something gets stuck to your tooth. It's not pretty.
No. So I made the wife turn off the turn off our camera and put our mic on mute. So we could kind of like.
That's very unsociable.
Yeah. Are you unfamiliar with my work?
You wrote a sign, fuck you, and put that up. Holy smoke.
Yeah, but it's sometimes the glare, you can't really read the words, so that wouldn't have worked. Because Zoom doesn't pick up fine detail. I would have had to write in very broad strokes. But
I've noticed that on here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got the Davin thing going tonight. At least I said hello when I came to the camera. My daughter, she wants nothing to do with it. She couldn't even be bothered to come to the table, like, while the camera was on.
She's a teenager now.
She's not
going to
deal with
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I guess some of the family was a little insulted, but we're like, that's just who she is, you know.
When my brother was a teenager, he just went to his room and stayed there. It was like, brought food back to cave. Done.
Yeah, but he had magazines in there. She was still in my living room. So that was weird.
Well, like I was saying, when we used to have people over my house and my in-laws would come over, guys, so, you know, stuff like that, and my brother-in-law, sister-in-law, I would set up everybody. I knew that my brother-in-law liked watching basketball, set him up nice with the basketball games. My father-in-law liked to sit in there and just relax, set him up. The girls liked to sit in the living room and just chat. And then I would go in the bedroom and watch TV, and Joanne goes, you're not being sociable. I go, nobody's sociable here. I'm sitting everybody to be antisocial, and everybody's fine. And I'm going in the bedroom and I'm watching a football game, you know?
Yeah, I guess we got to be honest. A lot of us were just, you know, it's nice to say you're going to be with family. Like, you want to be with family, but you don't want to travel to get to family, and you don't really want to have to interact with family all that much, but you want to be with family. So if you think about it, Joe actually planned, like, the perfect holiday. We're all under one roof. He was the home team, so he didn't have to travel at all, which is a win. I mean, sure, you got to clean up, but that's what women are for. So Joe set everybody up. What's besides you, Pip? You're not a woman. But anyway, I'm being nice. So Joe set everybody up. He put them all in their little isolation chambers. And then his reward was he went to his isolation chamber. It sounds like a lovely holiday.
Don't get me wrong. We had a lovely dinner. You know, the girls did all the cooking and stuff like that. We helped. We had the dining room table that we had. It was the only time of the year that I got to sit at the head of the table. I got any recognition for being the owner of the house. It was the only perk I ever got. I get to sit at the head of the table. I'm like, oh, what do you know? A perk showed up.
Well, Joe, yeah, I mean, you listen, it made sense. You deserved it because it's the only time of the year you had to move the groceries from your bed, you know, to the kitchen so they could get cooked. So that was your prize.
Yeah.
Wow, the head of the table, it finally is acknowledged. I you know, it should be a place of dignity and you know, sort of. You know,
gravitas.
You appreciate that person.
Sure. Well, I mean, listen, but they were out of options, so Joe got to sit there. I understand.
Yeah, probably. Sorry, go in there and stuff like that. But you know what? One rough thing that kind of hit home is that my aunt. You know, I would call my aunt on Thanksgiving Day around Thanksgiving. My aunt passed away in April. So you know, with everything going on, especially with the COVID just dominating everybody's life, you notice little things dawn on you. When you you know, when you're not expecting them, like I said, Thanksgiving, I usually call my aunt. Well, she passed away. Going upstate, actually heading up by you know your house, Dav. You get off of the outlets, you know, you get off of the thruway, and you get onto 17 to head up. And my aunt lived right off that exit. And I remember I was going to see my brother during the summer, and I'm like, oh, I got to stop by one day. And I'm like, and it hit me that she was gone, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, so. Yeah, a little rough on a couple of things. Plus, I left two messages for my brother, one at the house and one on his cell phone. I haven't heard back from him.
Well,
find out what he's up to.
I'm guessing.
He might have went to Colorado, you know.
Well, I think your brother's a Republican, so I'm guessing he was doing what the Arizona governor was doing, and he was certifying the election when your ringtone "Hail to the Chief" came, and he was just too busy to pick it up. I'm sure he'll get back to you eventually. But
he, I gotta try to find him tomorrow.
Well, he can't go too far.
I know, and it's like, you know, I called, I left a message. I gotta send a text to my nephew who lives down the road. See what's cooking.
Yeah, I would think that would be something to get on. I would think that would be on the to do list.
Yes.
So I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't want to do any more Zoom Thanksgivings.
It doesn't sound like it was tremendous fun.
It was. We cooked. I'm still eating the goddamn turkey. That's the thing about a turkey. A turkey lasts forever. And in my mind, well, you know, the cold cut turkey lasts about a week. So I can last about a week. We cooked up a storm. I cooked the turkey and the stuffing and the mac and cheese, and my wife cooked all the other stuff. So it was fine. Mm. It was good.
You gotta also understand something about a Zoom chat, okay? If you're doing a business Zoom chat, there's an agenda. I had the day program. We all Zoomed in last week, last Monday, and my bosses were very good. They had an agenda. They were addressing all the concerns we have with the company, and so far it went very well. There's an agenda. We do this show. There's an agenda. We have, you know, what we're doing now. We're going to, there's an agenda. We keep it rolling to 9:30. You go to family. None of them knows what it's like to be on camera. There's no script or
Joe. I sent them notes. I gave them a clear rundown of the Zoom dinner. I can't help it if they don't do the show prep. It's not my fault.
I know. You know, it's like this. So we, like I said, when the day program, they had an agenda. You know, we do this show. There's show prep. There's the prep sheet. You know, with family, they don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Like, they're very loud, so it's always overwhelming for me. But then for some reason, like, the Zoom thing just, like, amplifies it for some reason. Like, the cackling. And it's just, Zoom is not meant for that. But
no.
It's
really not.
But you know what?
People talk over each other, and all you hear is, "Live it up," and in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even ideal.
I'm doing a Zoom chat on Saturday. My friend Claire, I've known her forever, and her sister, Tricia, was supposed to do a Zoom chat. She was the one that painted the picture of me and my friends in our backyard, which was the most incredible gift I've ever gotten. I mean, I cried like a baby when I opened it because it was just one of my favorite parts of my backyard at a time that was really amazing when I was a kid. And just to look up, you know, have it hanging on the wall and look it up, it just takes me back every time. It was an amazing gift. So I'm looking forward to that, you know.
I mean, it's nice, but it's no jailbroken Fire Stick. I mean, if you would actually hook it up, I think you would find the jailbroken Fire Stick.
I might have to bring you down to help me. You could actually, if you actually look in the back, you'll see the computer desk in the back. It's actually on that ledge. You could actually see the thing sitting there.
It's the easiest fucking thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Especially you're right.
With my hatred of Cablevision. With my hatred of them,
you'd be a happy man.
I was telling Joe's girl that I actually got to sit with the thing and hook it up. I'm very inept, you know, hooking that stuff up. That's why I haven't done it. But it's there. You can.
I walked my mother-in-law through it this weekend. She was having issues with her. I walked my mother-in-law through it. I could walk you through it if need be. I think.
Okay.
I got a new phone. Got a new phone. Came in the mail today. That's exciting. See how that works
out. There you go.
So I have now lost all of my live in-person December shows. COVID has canceled them all. So I have like one virtual show.
Yeah.
It's just it's like one of the bookers calls me up, Denise calls me up, and we just laugh. She calls me up like, "All right, we're canceled." And so
what are you gonna do?
So we put down a week in January. I go, "All right, I'll talk to you in 2 weeks when you cancel me for that." Yeah. You know? The stuff that you...
I got to do another phoner next week because I'm scheduled to be down at Dino's next Tuesday, and then I'm doing the weekend with Dave Landau this Saturday, and you know, and it's, we're at the mercy of the governor, you know. It's like, you know, the shows have been going, but as a matter of fact, Dave Landau was plugging a gig on Anthony Cumia's show tonight, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be down there on the 12th, we think." We hope, you know.
Call ahead.
It's awful.
Yeah.
I honestly don't. I mean, I'm glad when audience members come out, but I really don't. There's no reason to come out to a comedy show in this right now. It's just getting too fucking. It's getting bad again. It's getting bad again because people are fucking assholes. Like I've been saying since this started, it didn't have to be this way. You know, it's just, and it starts at the top. I'm glad this guy's leaving because it didn't have to be this way. Because if his 70 million people would have said, wear a goddamn mask, we wouldn't be the laughing stock of the country. They go, all right, wear a mask. And the liberals would wear a mask because the scientists told them to wear a mask. And, you know, we would still be having a second wave. It would still be bad. But it wouldn't be this. We wouldn't have to, like, 9 months into this thing going, do masks work or do they not work? Well, I found this thing on YouTube. You're an asshole. I can't take it anymore. But hydroxychloroquine. The president didn't even take it, you dumb motherfuckers. when Donald Trump was very sick with COVID-19, he didn't say, no, I want that hydroxychloroquine and a side of bleach. They gave him a fucking cocktail of steroids and shit that you can't get. That's what they gave him. And he bounced back. Good for him. And when,
I mean, the presidential limo's not going to pull in front of CVS and he's going to run in, you know?
That'd be nice. Yeah, but even Ben Carson, I guess Ben Carson was very, very ill with it, he said. And the president ordered.
The problem with Ben Carson, the virus just got bored being inside of him. Better move on. Ben Carson, nice enough guy, brilliant man, could put a crackhead to sleep.
I think like Ben Carson and the My Pillow guy should get together because I feel nothing says a good night of sleep like Ben Carson. I really
agreed.
But I guess he had the COVID real bad and he credits president.
That's the most exciting guy, you know.
No. You know, we were talking last week about Joe. You weren't on for this part of the show, but we were talking about Harvard didn't want anybody from the Trump administration to give any talks, go to schools, and I said that was a little much. And we were thinking, what else could they talk about? So I would invite Ben Carson in. I wouldn't want him to talk about HUD because I don't think he knows anything to do about housing and urban development. But I wouldn't mind Ben Carson talking about brain surgery. He was known as a brilliant brain surgeon. So if you're gonna ban people, well now you don't get to have Ben Carson's knowledge. He knows some shit, just not what he's been doing the past 4 years.
I never understood that. Why didn't they make him Surgeon General? He's one of the most brilliant brain surgeons in the world.
What are you fucking new? That's not how Trump works.
Didn't make any sense.
He gave it to the other black guy. It's funny now because like Biden is starting to name people that he'd like for his cabinet and everything. And the news is so funny. Well, this is a stark difference from the Trump cabinet. These people are qualified and have a long history of public service and of working in these. They seem overqualified. And then this was funny. Then you had John Cornyn, I guess one of the people that Biden's wants is a woman who I guess is an angry tweeter. And John Cornyn's like, my word, you know, I don't know how she's going to pass. She has a history of angry tweets. Really? Oh, my stars. Angry tweets. This from the guy they'd ask, what do you think of President Trump's tweets? Tweets? What's this tweet? Was that a character? Isn't that what Sylvester was trying to get? That was Tweety, right? President Trump has a little parakeet? Is that what you're telling me? For 4 years, this guy never heard of the Twitter. Now all of a sudden, my stars, I think it's too much. Angry tweets. Well, listen, don't get me wrong. I don't like my politicians having a track record of being assholes on Twitter. That's not my thing. I don't like it at all. But if you spent the past 4+ years playing ostrich and burying your head in the sand and not wanting an answer, don't fucking insult me by now giving a shit about Twitter. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, you know, those guys are bullshit artists, you know?
Listen, this is what we found. This was the most disturbing thing about this past election, not to get all political, but there were certain people that really needed to get the fuck out. And two of those people are Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. Forget about their politics. Forget about their politics. Just being A1 hypocritical assholes fucking shit up. Those two needed to go. And Mitch McConnell is not popular in Kentucky. The Democrats ran a female Air Force, I want to say, either Air Force or Navy pilot, veteran, and everything. And, and, And McConnell blew her away. And the guy running against Lindsey Graham raised a boatload of money. The good news is you can't buy elections. The bad news is it doesn't matter for, oh, my stars, Lindsey Graham, who is literally like on every Fox News program, please send me money. I need money. Please send me money.
Let me tell you something. Like I said, I'm a registered Republican, and I am barraged by emails.
Yeah.
We need your money. We could do this. We could. I'm like, fuck you. You're a millionaire. You're not getting any of my money.
Donald Trump has raised $170 million from his rubes. Yes, I'm calling them rubes for his defense fund. The thing is, they has like in the little bylines, like a Nigerian prince. Yeah, we really don't have to give that money to the defense fund. Like, I think you have to donate more than $5,000 for any of it to go to a defense fund. There is no defense fund. It's Rudy Giuliani running around with fucking streaks of hair dye running down his face. And some hot blonde that he found on the corner who had the most disparaging things to say about Donald Trump, like most hot blondes in this administration, before she started working for Donald Trump. That's the defense. And they're getting laughed out of court by Trump-appointed judges. God, lapdog William Barr today. William goddamn Barr said, yeah, we looked. There's no fraud here. So he might be fired as the show is on the air. Tonight, that's very possible. But he's raised $170 million, and it doesn't have to go. That's going to pay off his debt. Donald Trump is doing what he's always done. He's being a grifter, and people are still giving money. And good, Joe. I'm glad you're not donating money. I donated for the first.
I'm not giving them a dime. I mean, it's almost like, you know, scammers. You know what? You got the money to look into it. Like I said, I mean, there's no smoking guns. You know, and like I said, let them have their day in court.
They've had their days.
Yeah, like I said, they're still doing it, you know, and if everything comes up, you know, that he couldn't find anything, you know, then so be it. And then just during the next 4 years, just investigate and see if they can find anything. He's not going away.
Here's the thing. I think, it's over for him. If you watch that video from last night of the Arizona governor, who has been very, very Trumpy and a big supporter of Trump. And he even said, I think it was in June or July, says, you know, the president calls me all the time. I changed his ringtone to Hail to the Chief on my phone because I don't want to miss any of his calls. He is literally certifying the election for Joe Biden last night. You hear his phone go, Hail to the Chief. He takes it out of his pocket and he puts it down. It's over. It's over. It's like if Joanne were to call you in the middle of this, Joe. Okay. It's over.
Oh,
and no disrespect,
man,
to Joanne.
Great.
No disrespect to Joanne, but you're not taking that call at this moment. It is. And here's what blows.
Believe me, it was bad enough last night because I wanted to get the clips done, and she's texting me. And I go, could you not text me right now? I'm trying to get the clips. I do them off the phone. You know, could you not text me?
Why is she still texting you? Ever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, she wanted because she got a new job and stuff like that. And then she tells me over the weekend, she goes, so if an emergency happens, am I still a contact? I go, yeah. She goes, I am? Yeah, by default. I go, either everybody I know is either too far away, dead, or too old. So you know what? You tag, you're it. And I go, by the way, I go, you pull the plug. I don't want to put. I go, you ever see a dog fight with a frisbee? That's what I want you to look like with that fucking plug. You understand me?
I feel a little hurt. I mean, if there's anybody to pull the plug, I feel like I should have gotten the call. A little disappointed.
And you'll get the call then. And then I also asked her. I go, I see you still have the information thing I put in your wallet. I go, yeah. I got a question after all these years. How come you have call a priest first? And don't mention anything about a doctor or anything like that. You want to give me a chance, even though I want to pull the plug?
Well, she wants to make sure you get to hell quickly. She don't want you to lingering.
Believe me, I've gotten the offer from her plenty of times.
Sure, she, you know. So, and one final political thing, so you know how Trump is done. It's funny. The senators are a bunch of cowards for the most part, but he's like attacking these local officials and the governors, Republican guys, people who voted for Trump, campaigned for Trump. He's campaigned with them. And now they're getting up in front of microphones like, my word, he's saying these lies, these vicious lies, there's danger, they're violence, he's saying these horrible things, he's fooling people, he should stop.
And the rest of us sit there, motherfucker. The Democrats and the media go, we told you this for 4+ years. Now you give a shit because it's you. Fuck you. Deal with the tweet storm. We all don't.
They're politicians. They're going to jump like rats from a ship. Like rats from a ship.
Well, you would think.
The whole thing is that there are some things that look fishy. But they're not coming up with any smoking guns.
There's nothing that looks fishy. There's nothing that looks fishy. As Chris Krebs said, who was in charge. See, this is the thing. Donald Trump said he hired the best people. Usually, no. But in one case, he actually hired the best person. Because if you forget, people forget, after 2016, whether you were Republican or Democrat, you were very concerned about Russian interference. Whether you think they swung the election to Trump or you didn't, we were told by all of our FBI, CIA, all the Homeland Security, that there was going to be foreign interference. That was a big concern. So right. So they created this department called CISA. He hires this guy, Chris Krebs, who does the fucking impossible. He made, especially this year with all the voting ballots. He's like, this is the safest election ever. Well, how can you say that? He's like, because 95% of the ballots can be checked with paper ballots. So Donald Trump actually did hire the best guy, and instead of taking a lap for that, he's burying this guy. It's like, no, you actually hired somebody who did a good job. This guy is so good. After he got fired, I tweeted at Joe Biden because I know he was waiting on that. I direct tweeted at Joe Biden. I'm like, hire this guy. I mean, and now this Chris Krebs is a lifelong Republican and everything. But when you're talking about security, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I want the best guy. If you can make this shit show of an election with safe, which was nobody's fault, you know, I mean, there are people's fault, but I'm saying, you know, it is what it is. He made it safe. If Donald Trump, take the fucking round of applause. Take the bow. I know it didn't come out the way you wanted to. But now, the beautiful thing about Donald Trump is, this is the great thing about Donald Trump. With the Jets, I have to deal with one loss a week. And it's guaranteed. And on the press conference, they don't tell me how they cheated, how the other team cheated, and how they really won. They don't go on and on about it. So you take the loss, you move on. With Donald Trump, every day is just a new day of more losses for him. It's so much fun. If you don't like this guy, if you know, and I've been saying for years when nobody else would, that this guy was a loser. I said it when nobody else was. Well, other people were, but a lot of people were not. The guy loses every day, whether it's in court or another certification. Mundane shit that nobody would pay attention to. He would have just had the one L, then he'd have 2 months to wrap it up. You know, he could go on a high or go on a low, whatever he wanted to do, and that would be the end of it. There'd be no more defeats. He could come back in 2024 if that's what he wanted to do, but it would be the one loss. He lost the election. You know, you want to blame it on COVID-19. If you're a Trump supporter, you could say that. You know, it sunk his economy. That's what killed you. He would have that loss, but he could come back to win. It would just be that one L, and that's fine. And he could still leave with the 2 months on a high, but he don't do that. He just
there's two ways to look at this. Basically, I was listening to Alex Christianos today, and he was commenting on that. I think there's still a couple of elections that are still going on for the Senate.
Georgia, there's a runoff in Georgia.
Right, on the runoff. So his feeling is that Trump's rhetoric on this could hurt it, because basically he said when you have a new party coming into the White House, people tend to vote for the opposite party. Just to keep things in check. What he's saying is that people might be getting so tired of his rhetoric, they might just vote Democrat.
No, it's not even that. It's not even that. Donald and he was told this by Republicans from the beginning. Donald Trump made it sound like this whole election was rigged, that it was predetermined. Okay, yeah. So it's predetermined. Now there's COVID-19 out there, and it's predetermined? Fuck it. I'm not going to go and vote. And it's not the Democrats that listen to his crazy shit. It's his voters. It's the Republicans. He is so fucking stupid. And I know we've argued about this. But I'm not gloating on you. I'm not taking this on you. But I think I get the last laugh about picking exactly what this guy is. He's not playing three-dimensional chess. He's not some savant. He's not some great...
How long have you lived in New York? You don't know this?
I do!
4 years ago.
I understand that, but we know plenty of people, and we've had arguments ourselves, go, no, no, he's a great businessman. No, he's not. He's a grifter. He did to the United States what he does with all of his companies. He took it for what it's worth, and he's going. I don't think, I said, remember what I said weeks ago when nobody else was talking about this? I said, I don't know if he's going to run, but he's going to hint like he's going to run. I don't think he's actually going to run, but I think he's going to hint like he's going to run.
Well, you know, look at this hypothetically. If he makes a big stink about the election, okay, and this fraud and this, and then he's got his base behind him, he leaves the White House. Now, what he was going to do when, if he did not win the 2016 election, he was going to start his new a political network. Look at the opportunity he has now with people. You know, there's Newsmax. You have Newsmax. People fleeing from POTUS. And people
but you know what? Listen, he'll have some
people. He's got an opportunity to open up his new network and rally with all the stuff.
Who's giving him a network? Who's giving him a whole network? And maybe he'll be like the Blaze or something, Glenn Beck. Nobody's giving him a network. Here's the thing. Every day, because the way Donald Trump has played this all out, he becomes increasingly irrelevant. That's what you saw. But
hear me out on this. In your opinion, and maybe a mainstream media opinion, but to his base.
But he's going to peel away.
With his base, there's the business opportunity there.
There is.
All the people that are disenfranchised with Fox to go over that, you know?
But why are they disenfranchised with Fox? Because Fox actually did some reporting?
Because they take... Now listen, we're not going to get into a debate about this. We're talking very, you know, very open on this. Because Fox has taken a very liberal stance. If you are a more so than they have, it's been people have been leaving in droves because of it. There's an opportunity there if you're going to start your own network to capture that audience that's disenfranchised with Fox. You say, well, a lot of the people, the people that listen to CNN. And that ilk may be the more mainstream, but there is a business opportunity.
Yes.
The former president of the United States starting his own network.
But First of all, Fox is not liberal, more liberal. They're occasionally reporting facts. They used to have a guy in the middle of the day, Shepard Smith, who did that. But then the Fox fans made his life so miserable, he went to CNBC where he just.
But what I'm saying is, regardless of your thought on that, regardless of what.
But now that we're going to have four stations?
There is an element that is leaving. There are viewers that are leaving Fox News for that element.
You know, and you're right, Joe. They are. And they're not serious people. They're not serious people. I've seen some of the programming on Newsmax.
If I've got a competitor that is having a problem getting stuff in stock and stuff like that, and I, you know, people that will, you know, that like this brand, and I have an opportunity to take that audience with me, you know, you're going there. And like I said, I'm painting a very broad stroke where if people are moving to Newsmax. And they don't like Fox News anymore because it doesn't have the right slant that it had, and it's the perfect opportunity to open up his own
channel. I guarantee you this: if he does start a news channel, which he might, I'm not saying he won't. I guarantee you this: it, like every other Trump business, will fail. Probably within 2 years. He does not know how to run anything except his mouth. It will fail. He's not smart enough to have executives who've actually run networks do that. If he was smart enough to do that, and he gave himself like the prime time Trump hour, a cushy show like that, where he could be the TV star, which is really what he wants to do. He really wants to be a TV star. Then yes, maybe it would work. But he's not that smart. So
yeah, but think about this. He's not in the political realm anymore. He's doing a TV show. He'll bring in producers and stuff like that, and he'll run. And basically what he'll do is he'll do what he wants and listen to the producers. If the ratings aren't there, then he'll probably up the ante or start listening to the producers. We'll see what happens.
It might. We don't know. I'm just telling you this. I'm just telling you right now. Every day, and like I said, I was watching the Arizona governor put him to voicemail, sealed it. Every day, this guy is becoming more irrelevant, and he did it to himself. He did it to himself by making every loss so public. Because now, Donald Trump never wants to be looked at as a loser. He would have had the stink of being one term on him, which is a loser. But you can get past that. George Herbert Walker Bush got past that. Where if you look back on it, you look more finely. Jimmy Carter got past that. Where if you look at it, you go, all right, maybe it didn't influence everything, but you look back and there's fondness. Because they moved on. They did other
things. They're politicians. This guy's not a politician.
Well, Trump's a politician, too. He's just not good at it.
But he's not a typical politician. I mean, he's not, and he's Donald Trump. He's not going to lead with grace.
Listen, not even grace. Just don't talk about it. That's what I'm saying. Because he talks about it so much, and I'm fighting, he thinks he comes across as a fighter. And yes, you're right, to his base, maybe he does, to some of his base. But to everybody else, it's just another loss, another embarrassing press conference from one of his surrogates. It's loss upon loss upon loss, where if he would not even be graceful, not even concede, God forbid he concede, if he just would have moved on to focusing on the vaccine, or he just would focus on more Middle East peace deals, or whatever the fuck he wants to focus on, or God forbid focus on getting the people money. You could still go out on top, and you would not have that stink of being a loser.
I agree with that because basically, with the whole thing with the vote count and stuff like that. I mean, he did have that program to make medical bill drugs more transparent on that. But I do agree that he really should get back with working on the virus, working on the checks, putting more and just make a state that I'm a lame duck president, but I'm not going after lame duck ideas. And and we need to get these certain things done. Right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. He could have gone, even though he would have taken the L and been a one-term president, he could have gone out on top, sort of, if he would have accomplished something major for the people. He could have.
Look, how many, I support the guy. I wish he won, but I'm not going to blindly sit here and go, oh, you don't understand. I mean, also during the press conferences, I mean, all he had to do is say some words, have Fauci say a couple of words, have Pence say some words, and then go in the back. Instead, he wants to argue with the fucking media. Like I said, he should have taken a hamburger, threw it out there, and then pulled it back and bring it behind the door. He's his own worst enemy.
But this is why I think he's going to become
he should be doing. Parachute me into the White House and I'll see if I can talk to send so many women. But yeah, I agree on that.
But this is why I think he's going to be irrelevant. I've been saying also here for years, America is getting tired of this shit. We're going to have normalcy again. Or business as usual. Which before Trump, after 8 years of no drama, Obama, yeah, we want somebody to shake it up. Like I said, we've been on the roller coaster. Now we just want a sitz bath. Every time Donald Trump just stirs it up. Donald Trump doesn't know how to make soup. You stir soup, you add ingredients. I didn't think the cayenne would go there. It's very spicy. But he makes it work because he blends it in. He takes it. That's not Donald Trump. He goes, all right, here's some feces. Here's some cockroaches. Here's the balls of an opponent of mine. Let's throw it again. Oh, it tastes like shit. Well, eat it anyway, asshole. Donald Trump is the worst chef ever.
You honestly thought he was going to go quietly?
No. No.
No. I'm so surprised.
I'm not surprised at all.
I'm surprised about the ingredients of the soup.
Yeah, well, it's a very nasty soup. For our democracy, I am saddened. For my own personal entertainment, I am enjoying the shit out of it. I never understood liberal tears. Let's own the libs. I never understood that. But I must say, I do get a certain sense of entertainment by going on to the Facebook friends of mine that are still diehards, that are still like, no, Donald, this is all part of the master plan. The Supreme Court is going to win it for him. Which is not democracy, motherfucker. But that's a whole nother thing. It's all part, like, they're still holding on hope. No, it's not official. It's not real. I enjoy going on those pages on days where Donald Trump takes a loss and just watching their insanity. Because, they are useless to society from here on out. There's no coming back. There's no talk about policy.
Well, with the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court, they're going to rule in this way. Those justices got there because they're justices, okay? And they're not swayed. They're not gonna, even though either side of the aisle, well, they'll be swayed by it. No. They have a very, very, very big conviction to constitutional law and the law. And simply because a president installs you doesn't mean that you're going to sit there and cater to the whims. You cater to the law, you cater to the Constitution.
But that's not not the narrative Donald Trump sold them. Remember, they rushed this pick through. Donald Trump sold them, we're gonna get the judges we want on the court, we want to take it to the Supreme. Rudy Giuliani is still saying this after every loss. This is great for us, we're going to take it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court isn't going to hear this. All these losses where judges laugh it out. It's amazing Giuliani hasn't been sanctioned yet.
Well, a lot of things about, you know, when we'll take it to the court and we're going to win. There's testimony, hours of testimony, where they get grilled. Are you going to be partial? Are you going to be that? No, I'm not going to be partial. I will judge on the Constitution. I will also deal in regards to law. Based on past cases, based on, you know, that. And that's what they feel. So when the politicians get surprised, well, you know, they didn't rule and say, no, because they're going by the rule of law, the rule of Constitution. So it amazes me that for some reason they're blind to that, you know?
Well, going back to my points of joy, fortunately for my entertainment, sadly for the country, there's enough Trumpsters that still believe that the judges are in the bag. So I get it now. I do like going on pages where people who can't, you know, you got to move on. I was upset that Trump beat Hillary. I moved on. But, you know, at first I tried to look on the optimistic side. I go, okay, well, I'll buy into the Trump myth. We'll say he can do these things. We'll say he's a deal maker, this, that, the other thing. And then shortly after enough, that was slapped down because Trump wasn't going to do any of that shit. But I gave the guy a chance. I gave Trump a chance. I was upset that Hillary lost. I was, you know, depressed a little bit. I wasn't fucking crying. I didn't grab a pussy hat. I wasn't inconsolable. But, you know, you move.
It's not like that's a bad thing.
No, it's a fine thing. But yeah. But some of these Trump supporters, they're never going to get over it because that's what happens.
The thing about it is it was funny when Pitt was concerned about me when he made the announcement. I'm like, I'm watching the call. I go, I cannot spend 4 years jamming these people, never Trumpers, never this, oh, Hillary, you're not my president, and they carry on, where election result, which is just as surprising to me as when Hillary lost, I'm not going to sit there, oh, it's bullshit. I'll sit here, watch them, you know, take the voter fraud cases in front of the judges, see how they decide, and everything goes, no, it looks like it was a fair election, and so be it. I'm mostly Biden is not my president. I'm not happy about it, but I'll deal with it, you know?
Well, that's what mature...
What the hell is that?
What the...
What did you skin one of your hats and wearing it?
Pip has put on a pussy hat. That's what Pip is doing.
Well, wouldn't you, during this conversation?
Funny.
Okay.
There you go.
So I do have a heartwarming fish story for you guys.
A
heartwarming fish story. So if Pip, if you want,
I'm happy to hear that.
If Pip, if you'd like to do another wardrobe change and put on your fish hat, we can do that.
Hold on a second.
Or you could just spread your legs. But anyway, thank you.
Money up front, PayPal.
Okay, if that's the way it's going to be, can I send you something via Venmo? Anyway,
Venmo. Yes, you could actually.
So yesterday we went to the fish store to get some fish for our aquarium. I've not been to the fish store since COVID started because you're not really supposed to be making all these frivolous trips and whatnot. So I went to the fish store, and they had a Placo. Do you guys know what a Placo is?
No.
Placo is a type of fish. It's in the catfish family. They clean algae. They clean algae from the tank. They need to eat other things too, but like they eat algae. So they're in the catfish family. The Placos, you know, there's all types. There's like, you know, you can get one Placo for $3, and then there's more exotic types that cost hundreds of dollars. So they're, you know, they can be very pretty or very mundane looking. So the fish was probably about the length of my forearm. It's a big fish. That's a big Placo. So it's it turns
damn.
Out this fish is 35 years old. It's a 35-year-old fish.
What is it looking to buy a house?
Yes. Could you sign for the credit?
Looking to settle down now.
Looking to settle down and save up some bucks now. Looking to have a house, have a family. 35.
Well, it's time. It's time. So this is very old for a fish, obviously. Here's the wild part. So it's donated to the store, but it's not for sale because it's living out the rest of its life there because they figure out we can't.
It has its forever home.
It does because they can't.
Put them in a Florida tank?
just gumming its flakes.
Yeah. Needs to eat at 3 o'clock every afternoon.
Only if it has a coupon.
That's the line.
Takes a little trip to the other aquariums, you know, on the bus, little fish bus, the little
Right.
So yes, this is their forever home. Now here's the wild part. The owners had this fish in a tank they thought was empty for a year. So they thought they cleaned out the tank. They were getting rid of the tank a year ago, and they thought they got rid of all the fish. So if, for a year, this fish lived alone in dirty, murky water. No circulation, which you would want to aerate the water. There was no heat. It's a tropical fish. Usually you want the temperature to be maintained in the mid-70s. Fahrenheit. So there was no filter to clean the waste. There was no food for this fish to eat. Somehow, this fish lived in these conditions for a year.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That's a big fish. How the hell could he not see it?
Well, the water. Well, yes, that's a very good point. But the water was because they're assholes. No, the water was very murky. It was very dirty. It's a black fish. As I said, it's a black fish, blackish brown fish. So it's a dark colored fish, and they're kind of flat. I mean, this is a big one, but you know, they're not like up and down fish.
Oh,
so you know, they're like they have kind of like a catfish body. Catfish are longer instead of taller.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it had a meaty head and everything. But so this fish was given no attention, no love, and it had to be 34 at the time. Just goes to show you what the will to survive and live can do. I thought that was a very cool story.
That, I can't believe, I'm thinking, how dark is this water and, you know, where is it? Is it on top of a shelf someplace? That they're just like, leave that brackish water sit in the tank. But the fish just, for a year. That's
for
nuts.
Year. Well, like I said, they're algae eaters, so I guess some sort of algae was in the tank. But, I mean, it's...
Yeah, there's got to be something in there that kept them going, you know?
Well, I mean, fish can go about a week, maybe 2 weeks without eating. You know, but I don't know. This is just insane. And their lifespan is supposed to be 10 to 15 years. That's the average lifespan of these fish.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it's Methuselah the fish.
So,
really?
Now, I have a fish, but I do not neglect it. A clown loach that is like 23, at least 23 years old.
Did you buy him when he was a puppy?
No, it's a fish, stupid. He'd be a guppy, not a puppy. No, I did not. Well, he was a lot smaller. He's big, but he was always like pretty big. But he's much bigger now. And I told the guy at the pet store, he's like, yeah, that'd be a $300 fish. So, but I've had him. Pip, remember when you helped move me out of my apartment in Garfield, New Jersey?
Yeah,
I've had him since that apartment.
Oh my God!
So he was
that
in,
was forever ago.
Yeah, well, that's when I lived alone, and I had a college roommate. Then I lived alone. That was where I lived before I moved in with my wife.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I remember. Wow. Wow.
And your other pets were dust bunnies.
Yes, yes, they were.
Wow, because we met. God Almighty! I think we've known each other 22 years.
Yeah.
We met in 98, I believe.
Okay.
98.
This fish this fish has outlived our relationship.
Yeah, really.
And it's a clown loach. Yeah. But but this fish is getting food, it's getting water, it's in with other fish. You know, all the things you need to keep a fish alive.
I hope the fish is getting water.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
I forgot to water my fish. Damn it!
Well, these people did, but I just thought that's cool. They got this 35-year-old fish, and now it's just going to live out its days in an aquarium. I thought that's cool.
That's very cool.
All right.
That's a nice fish story.
It is a nice fish story. A good way to end the first segment. Cleanse the palate of Zoom and COVID and go to a nice fish store. So we'll take our first break of the evening. On the break, we got new music from Be Infinite and Linda Jo Rizzo with the song The Sign. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And we also have Mark Duggan with the song Promenade Fireworks Show. And you can learn more about Mark at fluttertone.com. So take a break. When we come back, is a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving racist? Some would have you think so. And Black Santa is a controversial. Joe wrote about it, being he's our Santa authority. We'll get into that and more, so don't go anywhere.